Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does the God of Mormonism only bless you to the degree to which you keep His commandments? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this question is my friend, Keith Walker. Keith Walker is the director of Evidence Ministries down in San Antonio, Texas. You can see his website at evidenceministries.org. And it's been a pleasure having him on to discuss a presentation that he gave to the Christian volunteers who were going to minister at the Mormon Miracle Pageant held in June, last June. We're looking at some of the manuals that he was citing in that presentation, showing that if this is actually truth that Mormons are supposed to believe, it certainly is an impossible truth to try to live up to if you're a member of the Mormon Church. We were looking at the manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Harold B. Lee, and you cite from Chapter 3, The Lamb Slain from the Foundation of the World, and the quotation that you use starts off by saying, "The Lord will bless us to the degree to which we keep His commandments."
Well, first he goes on to quote 2 Nephi 25:23, basically saying that it's by grace that we're saved after all we can do. But my question to the average Mormon is, how does the Mormon Church apply this passage? What is it supposed to look like to the average Mormon? And the question that I like to ask them is, when do you get the grace? When does that actually kick in? According to this quote, it says, "The Savior's blood, His atonement, will save us, but only after we have done all we can to save ourselves by keeping His commandments."
Doesn't sound like in spite of.
No, it's pretty clear, actually.
Yes.
But only after. You know, two of my favorite words in English language are but and not, because they're contrast words. Mm-hmm. It's this, it's not that. Mm-hmm. But only after we have done all we can to save ourselves by keeping His commandments. Each must do all he can to save himself from sin. Then he may lay claim to the blessings of redemption by the Holy One of Israel, that all mankind, and he's going to quote the third article of faith. And I think a lot of Mormons are forgetting about this article, but this portion of it says that all mankind may be saved by obedience to the law and ordinances of the gospel. How are we saved?
By obedience.
By our obedience.
By our obedience. See, that would be just the antithesis of Christianity, because we are saved by the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. His righteousness is imputed to us when we come to Him by faith for what He did on the cross. In Mormonism, it's their own efforts. Kimball in The Miracle of Forgiveness is continually emphasizing this idea that you must personally overcome your sin. You overcome it. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he's very clear. You overcome it by you stop doing it, which kind of falls right into the definition of what the Mormon Church has laid down for what repentance really is. It's the ability to stop sinning. And of course, we don't find any Latter-day Saint that is doing that.
Well, we've had Mormon missionaries over at our home, and we always ask them to explain things to us. And they ask us, you know, well, have you heard things like this before? And what I tell them is, I would prefer to hear what you have to tell me, because I do this all the time. If my wife asks me, well, did your mom tell you about this? Even if my mom did tell me about that, I'll tell my wife, tell me what she said, because maybe she told Becky something that she didn't tell me. And if I just say, yeah, I already heard it, I could be missing out on whatever it is that I need to know. So I tell the guys, tell me what it is about this certain situation that we're talking about here. So when Mormons will start to tell us about how we need to be forgiven and what that looks like, what I will ask them is, you know, before, obviously you want me to be baptized into your church. You've got this system. But before I know the system works, I have to see somebody work the system. Mm. What does it look like to work the system? This is what Spencer W. Kimball says in Teachings of the President of the Church, chapter titled The Miracle of Forgiveness. He says, there cannot any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. And again, no unclean thing can dwell with God. To the prophets, the term unclean in this context means what it means to God. To man, the word may be relative in meaning. One minute speck of dirt does not make a white shirt or dress unclean, for example. But to God, who is perfection, cleanliness means moral and personal cleanliness. Less than that is in one degree or another uncleanliness and hence cannot dwell with God.
Goes right along with Gospel Fundamentals, page 67.
Absolutely.
It's all. See, I try to get this across to people. Kimball's consistent.
Yes.
He is consistent. He understands what law does. He seems to get it. A lot of modern Mormons don't seem to get it. They want grace so badly the way we understand it, and they try to mix it with their understanding that's given from the church, and it doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work, which does what? It shows us that these leaders are not true prophets and apostles of God because they can't get it right. They can't get it right. But when he says no unclean thing can dwell with God, I usually, when I hear a Mormon quote that, okay, and again, they get it out of Alma 11:37 talks right about that too. I would say I agree with that. Of course, the dilemma becomes, well, how do we get underneath the burden of the fact that we aren't clean?
Mm-hmm.
That we are unclean people. We are sinful people. How do we get out from underneath that burden? There it goes to what the Mormon church says. Personal effort. You have to do it like the dirty shirt. You got to make sure that shirt is clean. Whereas we are trusting in the works of Christ. It is about works. It's about the works of Christ, not our works. He tells us to come to him by faith. And that's how we can rest in this. Does this give us a license to go out and sin?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And every Christian, if they are truly a Christian, I think would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Mormons bring that up. They'll always say, oh, well, then that means I can just say I'm saved by grace and I can go out and kill people. No, folks, that's not what it's all about. We certainly do believe that after you are justified, that you are made right in the eyes of God, you will move into that area of sanctification where you will want to live a life that gives glory unto him. However, even the work of sanctification in your life is a grace from God. It's not still your own effort. It's the power of God in your life. It is born out of God himself. He is working in you his good pleasure. It's not just something we just get up all of a sudden and we're going to do.
Well, that's actually, you mentioned sanctification. That's one of the problems with Mormonism is when we talk about being forgiven, being right with God, they're taking our concept of sanctification and saying that that needs to happen before you can be forgiven. And that's where Alma 11:37 comes into it, because it says you can't be saved in your sins.
Right.
So the obvious question is, well, if I can't be saved while I'm in my sins, then in what condition do I need to be in before I'll be saved? What's the opposite of in?
Out.
Oh, I've got to be out of my sins. How do I do that? And I've had Mormons ask me that question. What do you mean I got to be out of my sins? How do I do that? And if I can do that, then why do I need Jesus? And I say, you know, that's a great question. And if my church taught that, I'd be asking more questions.
Yeah.
Now, within Mormonism, there is a doctrinal answer to that, that whoever asks this question, they're not familiar with it. But basically, Mormonism teaches that once you stop sin, that's repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to live the commandments. So you still need Jesus, but he's only going to save you from your abandoned sin. He's not going to save you from the sin for yet you have yet to repent. That's why when I ask Mormons, in fact, I got this idea from you. I heard you one time out on the streets of Manti say, sir, I've never met a Mormon who knows they're forgiven. Are you my first one? And if I remember the conversation correctly, he basically admitted that no, he didn't know either. And the only way that they can know is if they have repented, if they have abandoned their sins. And if you don't know that you've abandoned your sins, then you don't know that you're forgiven.
And this is why they look at us as being arrogant when we say
right,
we know we have forgiveness of sins. Because in their mind, Christians, they are assuming you have done what they have yet to do.
Right.
And so you're implying to them that you're a better person than them. So you want to be careful of that and head them off at the pass. when I say, yes, I have that assurance, and they respond, well, you're arrogant, I say, no, the reason I can say that is because it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for me. As Christians, we can say we have the forgiveness of sins, and we don't look at that as being arrogant at all because
not at all.
We know where that forgiveness comes from. It comes from the cross. It comes from what Jesus did on the cross for us, not by any individual effort that we might do. This idea of being better tomorrow than we were today. It doesn't matter. How long are you going to have to live before you finally get to the point where you don't have to be better tomorrow than you were today because you're as best you can possibly ever be?
Right.
It's never going to happen. And sadly, there's a lot of thinking Mormons that have put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I find, and is this your experience, Keith, when you talk to a Mormon like that, you're not usually talking to a Mormon who has a lot of joy.
No.
They do not have a lot of joy. They know that this is a huge burden for them to be under. And our hope is to get them out from under that burden, kind of like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. We want them to come to the foot of the cross and have that burden on their back just be taken off and go rolling down the hill.
Now, I've had Mormons ask me that kind of a question is, well, how can you know that you're forgiven? And they're thinking that I'm arrogant when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're misunderstanding the concept. The concept is, God provides me a righteousness. Read Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. God provides a righteousness for me. It's his righteousness given to me through Jesus. I can either accept my righteousness or the righteousness of Christ. If I take God at his word, abandon my righteousness, and accept the righteousness that he provides for me, that's how I can know. Mm-hmm. Because I believe God and he's trustworthy. When he says he's going to give me something, and I don't doubt that, that's what faith is.
We believe that Jesus' sacrifice is all sufficient.
Absolutely.
It's all sufficient. There's nothing you can add to a debt that's paid in full. And yet here are the Mormons trying to add on to that mortgage, that if they only understood that Jesus paid that mortgage, he paid that debt for us. He's just asking us to trust him in that fact. And that is what New Testament faith is all about, believing that he did something for you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.